Hello?
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Casey.
Actually, is this Josh? I can't quite tell. Your face isn't lined up with the camera just right.
This is Josh. I can't see you. No.
Right. So if you couldn't tell from that joke, the new iPhone is facial recognition.
The new iPhone X.
The XX Hardcore Gamer XX.
Fuck, they named it X.
Okay, is it supposed to be pronounced 10?
It is supposed to be pronounced 10,
Okay.
but I am refusing to pronounce it 10 as it is not the 10th fucking iPhone.
All right. So first of
Like,
all, it's
if they wanted to
actually
call
so it's the one, it
it
is
nine,
not the actual number, because a number that would make sense is 9. It is the 11th iPhone. The iPhone 8 is the 10th iPhone.
the only
I
thing
guess
10
it's
about
the
it is
10th
here.
anniversary of the iPhone. I don't know. So there is a question. So what name do we so we need we definitely it's definitely a stupid name, and we definitely need some way of making fun of the name. So I've had a few ideas in that. One, the obvious one is just calling it X. The other,
Can we just call it the
the iPhone Hardcore. I like that. The
iPhone
iPhone Hardcore. Other ideas I've had about it. So we could go along with the current naming scheme. Everything that's a stupid name, we just call one. So we'd probably call it the iPhone 1.
No, we can't do that. That only works if that's for ambiguous names,
Right,
is the
okay.
one.
And then the other thing is that the main other product that's famous for doing the stupid 10 jump is Windows, right?
Windows. Yeah,
So
Apple and Windows did it at the same time just to fuck with everyone.
we could call it the iPhone Vista.
No. I like hardcore or something. I think
Okay,
it's
the
the iPhone hardcore.
iPhone Hardcore. All right.
iPhone hardcore. Also, before we get too far into the podcast, I want to apologize. My room does not have very good the room I have gotten does not have very good soundproofing, and there's someone doing something next door.
I can't
So if
really
there's
hear
like
it. What I can hear is that your mic is flipping pretty badly. Can you
I don't
like
know
go
how to
into
deal with
system
that.
preferences and turn down your mic sensitivity?
Is that better?
Yes, that's much better.
Okay. We're gonna leave it there now.
All right.
Yeah. For some reason, it was set to all the way to the max.
Oh no, don't do that. That's bad.
It's still gonna clip. I'm gonna put it down to the middle
All right.
and see how that is. You can still hear me fine, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right.
So.
So I do actually have some more in-depth thoughts on the iPhone other than the making fun of the name.
Yes. Do you want to do the iPhone first, or do you want to go through the event in order?
I didn't actually watch the whole event. I didn't have a chance.
Oh, I did.
So
Yeah,
what
I'm gonna
so
rant. Let's do the event in
okay.
order, and I'm gonna rant to you about the things you missed.
Okay.
Because I'm almost certain you missed the marketing bullshit
Yeah,
that they did at
I
the
did miss the
beginning.
marketing. I didn't watch any of the event. I read kind of, I guess, like roundups that are explaining everything about the phone and about iOS 11 and
So they started the event with an excellent tribute to Steve Jobs. If you're an Apple fan, I suggest you watch it. It's super heartfelt. They like ask people to turn off their computers for it who are taking notes and just watch. And it was dark, and they did like essentially what I think will be the last like tribute to Steve Jobs for a while, because Apple Park, which is where this new presentation was like his last big project before he left the company.
Right.
And that was really cool.
I definitely want to see that.
And then they started off the presentation with a portion about marketing. And their stores are no longer Apple stores. They're Apple town centers. And I hope you could hear the air quotes in
Okay,
that.
what the frick?
Yeah.
What the Apple Town Center? Please tell me you're kidding. They're not calling them Apple Town Centers.
Nope, not kidding. That's
Oh
how
my
they start
God.
that's how they
Oh my
started this
God.
event. That's
Oh
how they started this event.
my God. Apple Town Centers.
They came up with a bunch of other absurd names for all the things you do while you're waiting and shit too, like the places you are, like you're waiting in the Grove. Oh God, it was th there was someone in marketing who was super happy
Oh my
with
God,
that
that can't be true.
presentation, and it
Oh my
was so
God. Okay, that's
It was such a weird marketing thing. But what they announced was...
You want to go to the Apple Town Center and hang out in the Grove.
Yeah. What they announced with it was Today at Apple, which is their... trying to, in more places, do, like, daily programs where they, like, bring in people to teach people shit from, like, basic programming to, like, just, like, how to take pictures with the iPhone and stuff like that.
Okay, that's actually and you can just, cool. I like that.
And those would be free, and you could just go in. They're trying to make more Apple stores... co-working spaces for iOS developers and stuff.
Oh, okay.
It'd be super cool.
Okay, so I can ask, so I still think that the name Apple Town Center is pretty stupid, but hearing that they're doing that, it's like, okay, I still think it's stupid, but I kind of get it.
Yeah. Yeah, after they went through all the things, but like that's what they let off with it. I'm like, okay. Congratulations.
That is a horrible thing to lead with. What you got to do is you got to explain everything that's coming and then saying, in light of all of these changes, we're going to start calling it the Apple Town Center.
Yeah. Some marketer thought it was a great idea to change the Apple store to the Apple Town Center. And
I do really like the idea of Apple stores kind of starting to be like half retail store, half makerspace.
Yeah. I don't know how much they're actually doing of that. They talked about it, but I don't know how much they actually will deliver on that.
I don't know. We'll see. I like the idea, at least.
Okay, what was next in the Apple event? Let's see. I don't know. It was iWatcher TV. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about TV. Wasn't it just that they came out with the 4K Apple TV?
Yes, 4K Apple TV.
All right.
Same remote. The exact same remote.
The gesture remote?
Yeah, the gesture remote that you have a touchpad on, so if you grab the remote and you're not careful when you grab the remote, you can trigger events.
Scroll around the video.
Yeah, you can scroll around your video, because that's exactly what you want when you're grabbing the remote in the middle of the only thing you can do on an Apple TV, is watch a movie.
Yeah. Every time you pick up the remote, it says you want to scroll.
You want to scroll at a non-recoverable scroll distance, too.
Exactly.
Like, you want to scroll randomly.
And you want to make sure that the edges of the touchpad on the remote aren't perfectly defined. So if you're feeling around for a button, you might come across touchpad.
Yeah. They did nicely put a ring around the button. So if you want to feel for the button, if you're already on the button, you're fine.
You should have to press a little bit harder on that touchpad as well.
Yeah. Now someone's playing music, so we get background music.
I can just barely hear a teeny little bit of it.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure it's enough for the the program to recognize it as sound and not cut it out.
Yeah. So that's good. But if you hear background music, if you hear any of the things, I don't have soundproofing room this time.
Are you this time?
I'm just in a different one of the conference rooms, because the conference room I wanted to go to was taken, and this one is right next to the lounge.
Right, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so back to what we were talking about, which is the...
So there's not that much to say about the Apple TV.
Yeah, the Apple TV, right, so, yeah,
it is interesting. Cool. It is interesting that they added 4K support, because I think that most people still don't have 4K TVs.
Yeah, they actually demoed a game, which is interesting.
That is interesting. That's kind of an Apple-like to acknowledge games as first-class citizens.
Right? Yeah. and they demoed it with, I think they said Unity 4 support. All the Zero people who are listening can email in and complain about if I'm wrong about that.
Yeah.
Although,
actually, on the note of games as first-class citizens, aren't they making games more accessible in the App Store also?
Yeah, they're splitting out the games. Actually, I haven't looked at the App Store since iOS 11.
I haven't updated to iOS 11 yet, because I think that technology problems already follow me around like sheep, and they don't need the help of me installing a 0.0 release.
Yeah, the 0.0 release is fairly buggy. We'll get to that later, though. So they demoed a game that was like super high quality They have Unity 4 support direct with Metal.
Oh my god. Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's really awesome.
Yeah. So if anyone doesn't know, Metal is their graphics library that essentially pushes things, tries to get around all the like drivers and shit and make get closer to the metal. And it's not, do code.
It's, OpenGL is really weird and has basically nothing to do with the way graphics really works. And so while the GPU is doing all the graphics, it's waiting for the CPU to like try to kind of sort of understand and interpret the OpenGL stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Metal is much more similar to the way it actually works. Which it's worth noting, I've done a little bit with Metal. It's not harder than OpenGL. It's just different. OpenGL is just, it's not like a layer of abstraction that makes stuff easier. It's just weird. Who wanted this?
Well, I mean, I'm sure Metal took just as long to design as OpenGL did.
That's true.
And also, I think that the advantage to OpenGL is it was designed for Windows and shit, and one of the ways Metal cheats is because it's the way Apple always cheats, is we know what hardware we're using, and we know the limited set of hardware we're using, so we can write higher level code that optimizes directly to the hardware.
Right, because it's a small enough number of configurations.
That being said, I don't care how good their game writing library is for the magic mouse of a freaking remote. No one's gonna actually play games with that shit.
If Apple really cares about games, then they need to make like a actual first-party controller for the iPad Pro, not just allowing support for third-party controllers, because that's never going to get enough adoption for anybody to write a game for it.
Yeah. Something that's never going to happen, but I've always wanted to happen, is Apple and Nintendo to work together, because Nintendo is good at all of the things that Apple is shit at, except for Wi-Fi, because anything involving Wi-Fi, neither company can do. But like, right. Nintendo is like does extraordinarily good game design, and they do like good, like they build like strong remotes using like interesting interfaces and stuff, and then they're shit at UI design, and so like using their devices is like a game of how fast can you get into their games, which are designed well. If you put Apple hardware and UI inside a Nintendo console, wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing.
Never gonna happen.
If you had Nintendo games working on Apple hardware.
Yeah.
It is. So that is never gonna happen, but it is an interesting point that there's a way that Apple and Nintendo are kind of both alone in the universe.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Nintendo is they're both kind of doing this thing of, it's like all of the other manufacturers are killing each other over specs and over having the mainstream everything, whereas mm-hmm. Apple and Nintendo are kind of off in the corner worrying about their own first party experiences.
Yeah. Which has got to be super cool in some spaces, but is not great in others.
Yeah.
But
it is, it's cool. I was just thinking of that when you were pointing out the idea of a partnership between them, and I hadn't thought about it before, but there's a way that they do kind of have a bit in common.
Yeah. Now there is music on both sides of me.
Now I can hear the music.
Yeah.
That's okay.
If it's copyrighted, it's not our fault. Okay.
You can't hear it well enough. To...
yeah. I also don't know what music is, so it's just random people playing music. Right. So do you want to move on to the Apple Watch?
Sure.
Watch the video for the Apple Watch. Just watch the video for the Apple Watch.
All right, hang on. I need to figure out how to find that. And I'll give commentary while I watch it. And Apple Watch 3 release video. All right. Apple Watch 3 official trailer, introducing Apple Watch 3 is the name of the video.
Yeah,
Apple. Hello, Apple. Dear Apple.
Wait, this is the one that they played in the keynote, right?
I think so. I don't know what they played in the keynote.
Just look up the video they played. Make sure you're watching the video they played in the keynote.
Is it the one with a whole bunch of people reading things? Like that? Oh, I'm a ballet
dancer.
That's
a longer one. No, not that one.
Okay.
Here, let me see if I can find it and send it to you.
I can always just find the whole video of the keynote and then look for it. I'm just going to do that.
I'll find it. I'll find the thing I'm looking for, I think. Wait. Okay. There's a YouTube video.
And I think I found it.
In the Discord chat.
All right.
This is the video they played when they said, "Now we're moving to Apple Watch, and then we're going to show you a video." And then they played this video without telling us any information.
Okay, so my immediate thought from the beginning is, okay, they've made it actually waterproof now.
Yep.
All right.
Although I think the last one was also actually waterproof.
Is water damage covered under Apple Care yet?
I don't know. Keep watching though.
All right. See the person gracefully going through the water. Incoming call.
Yeah.
Freedom of
cellular. You know what's definitely not in their pocket right now?
Their phone.
Exactly.
Okay, that's kind of cool. So now now it no longer needs to pair with the phone, so it actually has cellular now.
Yeah. When I watched it, I was like, oh shit, it has cellular now. And it was like, and they hadn't announced that beforehand.
That's a clever way of revealing that.
Yeah. I thought it was super cool.
I really like, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they put cellular into the watch. They have one with cellular and one without cellular.
Please, nobody buy the one without cellular.
Well,
it's going to be such a bad experience. Like, come on, save your pennies.
Well, the thing is, right, you're not really saving pennies because, like, the one with cellular, it's cellular like the iPad and shit. You have to pay extra money.
Right, okay.
To have cellular. You have to pay $10 a month.
Is there going to be the same thing? Because I know, like, T-Mobile did a thing where you could get a SIM card that gives you 25 megabytes a month for free, and then you can top up it to get more. But that's enough to just do, like, phone calls and maybe a little bit of music streaming.
I doubt it, because they did a lot of deals with the phone companies to make sure that it could be on the same number as your iPhone and receive calls like your iPhone can.
Right, okay.
And, like, send calls. So it is not just, like, the iPad...
You can't just put
some
random SIM in it.
Yeah, the iPad is not a cell phone extension as the Apple Watch is.
Right.
You don't need to be able to receive calls on your iPad as much. You can usually take the calls on your phone.
And because the whole idea of it is you want to be able to receive calls on the device you're most likely to have.
Yeah.
And you're most likely to have, you're more likely to have your phone than your iPad, but you're even more likely to have your watch because it's physically attached to your body.
Yeah, and also it means now that runners can run with just the Apple Watch.
Oh, that's true. I like that a lot. I really like that.
And, and so that was super cool. And that's the thing they added to the watch. They pretty much added that and made the same watch again.
That is definitely a big enough upgrade to be worth getting a new watch.
Yeah, and that also means that all of the Apple Music shit, now you can stream any music you want from your wrist.
Oh, that's cool.
If you pay the cell phone companies $10 a month, Apple $10 a month. Yeah, everything is going subscription based.
Yeah, which I suppose isn't all that bad.
Yeah, it means that. Companies are in subscription based, like, gets a lot of shit because it means that you don't get anything out of it in the end. Like, you're not accruing value if you do things subscription based. But on the flip side, companies have just as much incentive to serve their current members as to draw in new members.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, people have this weird attachment to the idea of forever. I've paid and I have this thing for forever. Sorry, you're not going to be alive for forever.
Yeah.
It's like,
everybody's going to die.
You don't care about whether you've accrued value when you're dead.
But you got to give it to your kids.
Give Spotify to your kids.
Don't you need to give your music that your kids hate because they're the next generation to your kids?
Super important. I've always dreamed of doing that.
Yeah.
Hand along my emo rock and nerd punk and Jonathan Poulton onto my kids.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
Let's see. Is there anything else about the watch? The watch was super cool, but, like, just in that it was epic.
Yeah, like, there's not much, like, Apple Watch has cellular now.
Yeah,
like, there's not much to say about that, but that's enough.
Yeah. Neither of us use the Apple Watch, right? So
yeah, no.
So we don't really care that much about it, let's be honest.
My issue with the Apple, so first of all, the Apple Watch, I'm not sure it's quite there yet, but it's like, I decided at the very beginning that the first Apple Watch made a lot of compromises in order to exist.
Yeah.
And I decided long ago that I would get an Apple Watch once no longer making all of those compromises.
Yeah.
And we've seen so far, as the years have gone on, the main thing with each Apple Watch is now we made fewer compromises.
Yep.
More of the features that were obviously good ideas are now there.
Yeah. The one thing that a lot of people are really pissed about,
yeah,
and I don't know why they did this, but it seems to be unanimously agreed that it looks ugly, is the crown that they have for rolling. They made the top of that. They put a red dot on the top of that, on the cellular ones.
Oh, my God. It has to be red?
It has to be red.
Oh, my God.
There is no other options.
Oh, my God. Why would they do that? I would paint mine black.
You would paint your polished aluminum a different color, Casey.
Better than red.
But like the physicality of painting polished aluminum.
There is going. I guarantee there are already companies. So Apple has started anodizing their computers now.
Yeah.
Before that, there were companies that you could just literally send your computer to, and they would anodize it whatever color you want.
Yeah, there will be.
There will be a service that is anodize that red button so it's not red.
It's not red anymore. Just anything but red.
Anything but red.
Yeah. I am willing to bet that that is gone by...
By the Apple Watch 4.
Yeah, the Apple Watch 4.
All right. Was there anything else, or do we want to talk about the phone now? Like, was there anything else in the event?
One sec. Never mind. That's a fun thing. Okay, moving on to the phone.
All right.
Let's do the 8 first.
Okay, yeah, do the 8 first. So, this applies to both of them, but glass body is back?
Yeah. They made it stronger, so we'll see.
I'm still really, really concerned because, like, they're, like, the phone was metal before, and having used, like, I use my phone in a case, but it's not, like, a super shock-resistant case, and I have seen people drop their phones when they aren't in cases, and it's pretty much, like, unless you hit the screen, it's, like, it might be a little bit dented, but it won't be, like, totally broken.
Yeah.
There was no glass-like material that was anywhere close to that I knew of, like, at the time that the iPhone came out.
They are and have been for a long time doing a ton of... I'm getting a ton of echo.
Huh. I have headphones, and I also don't hear the echo.
Okay, never mind then. It's gone now.
If I don't hear the echo, it's not all that important.
Yeah. There are... They have been putting a ton of... Like, Apple doesn't do traditional R&D, but they do... We want this material to exist. Now let's do R&D on that. And so they put...
They've been working on their INX glass for a long time. But it was nowhere close to the durability of, like... You could drop your phone from, like... Like, even, like, your phone falls out of your pocket and hits the ground...
Yeah.
And doesn't, if it lands on the screen, completely shatter.
Well, yeah. They think...
So now if it lands on anywhere on the phone, it completely shatters. Maybe. Yeah. We'll have to wait, but...
Yeah, they seem to think that that's not true. We'll have to wait to hear people respond to the new phones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's some things we'll just have to wait to hear stories of when people actually start getting these phones in their hands, because... that doesn't happen for a little while.
I'll tell you what I'm super duper duper excited about with the new phones. This also applies to the iPhone, to the iPhone X, but the iPhone Hardcore. But it's coming up now. Is have you seen the benchmark results for the new CPUs?
I've heard about them. I haven't actually looked at the benchmarks.
So disclaimer, synthetic benchmarks have lots of problems. They're not as good as real world things, but it's hard to find, it's hard to compare real world tasks across very different workflows. But so the chip that's in both the iPhone X and the iPhone 8 on Geekbench, which is a popular benchmark, gets an average of about 4,100 single core and about 10,000 multi core, which, to put that in perspective, is slightly better than the lowest end processor on the 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
We have ARM processors that are now comparable to dual core Intel i7s.
Yeah.
Granted, like laptop processors, but still, like, and this is in a phone.
Yeah. Yes.
This is in a phone, and it gets a dual core.
To all the people who are like, it's the same as the iPhone 7. It's just they incremented the number. No, they changed every fucking thing inside. They also have dedicated ML hardware, machine learning hardware.
I know. I was going to comment on that. It's the neural network chip that you wanted.
Yeah, they put a neural network chip. I think I talked about that on a previous podcast.
You did. You were saying you wanted them to do that, and they've done it now.
And you know what? I bet ARKit integrates directly into it.
Oh, I'm sure.
And MLKit.
Yeah.
Which they just have both of.
this is awesome.
Yeah. These phones are super powerful now. Yeah.
So they've done a lot of stuff with machine learning. And one of the things with machine learning that's just only going to be supported on the new phones, because they need their dedicated hardware for that, is when you take a photograph, you can put it in a mode where it does a 3D reconstruction of the scene.
Yeah, and then just removes everything that isn't you.
It removes everything that isn't you. It can do relighting.
Yeah.
Like, it can make a map of the scene, and then you can put you can change the lighting after the fact.
Yeah.
This is getting a little bit ahead, but on the iPhone X, they have the 3D camera, so it can actually sense depth.
Yeah.
And so you can change the focus of the image, and you can change the depth of field afterwards.
Yeah. Whoa. This is also all dog fooding ARKit.
Yeah, true. Which means ARKit is going to be good.
Yeah. Which means ARKit is going to be super powerful. And they're just showing you the things that you can do with it. We'll get to more uses of that later.
Yeah.
This
does have Touch ID. The 8 has Touch ID. Yeah.
The 8 still has Touch ID if you like Touch ID. And then wireless charging. They put it in both phones automatically there, which means that everybody with a new iPhone will now have the Qi standard wireless charging. They chose an open standard.
Whoa.
They chose the open Qi standard for wireless charging.
Apple went with an open standard?
Yep. I feel like they're doing more of that now.
Yeah, that's true, because they did. They started going with USB-C.
Yeah.
On everything.
They're selling their own charging pads eventually.
But for now, you can use it with all the other Qi standard ones, right?
Yeah. Their end goal will be for the Qi standard charging will be to they have like something submitted to extend the standard to include pads that can just charge multiple things at once, and they have functional pads that can charge multiple things at once.
All right,
one pad with you. You plug that into the wall, and then you just put all your shit on it, and it all charges.
And presumably, support for this is coming soon for the Apple Watch and et cetera.
No, the Apple Watch already has support.
Oh, the Apple Watch has support for it too?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I believe. They showed the Apple Watch and the phone charging on the same pad.
All right.
So they have chosen an open standard to go with. So hopefully that will be everywhere. And that's what they described essentially is they would like to see the cheese. They will help push that, make sure the cheese standard is everywhere.
Nice.
Make sure it's, yeah. And so hopefully eventually there will just, hotels will just automatically just have a cheese charging pad in the room.
It's always nice when an open standard suddenly gets backed by the most powerful company in the world.
Yeah. And it means that anyone can put wireless charging things in, which is super cool.
Yeah. Cool. And one thing that I did look into, because I remember before I was a bit worried about the charging speed of wireless charging. So it's actually pretty comparable to what we have now. So the charger that comes with your phone is 5 watts.
Yeah.
Your, like, in terms of, like, phones that are out now. Actually, the 8 is out now, but phones we have. It doesn't come with it, but the phone actually supports up to 10 watts. So if you plug your phone into an iPad charger, it will charge faster.
Yeah. Yeah, they have fast charging now.
The current wireless, this was even before. So the fast charging is a separate thing that's cool. But even, like, today, if you plug your phone into an iPad charger, it will charge faster.
Yeah.
The iPad chargers are 10 watts, and the iPhone chargers are 5 watts.
I know I always plug my phone into an iPhone charger, iPad charger.
Yeah, so that's good. So the wireless charging is 7.5 watts.
Yeah.
Which is in between, which is good enough.
Yeah, which is, yeah, people were charging at 5 watts.
People were charging at 5 watts and were happy.
Yeah, so that shouldn't be a problem. It's going to be super cool to use wireless charging with your phone once you have it. Absolutely. I won't have it anytime soon, obviously. I'm not going to get a new iPhone anytime soon.
Same. I just got a new iPhone.
Yeah.
And you know, in a way, it's like I'm kind of sort of happy about that because this has, like, the iPhone 8 a bit and the iPhone 10 a lot are huge advancements in terms of new stuff.
Yeah.
Which means that there's going to be problems. I've actually seen, like, the iPhone 8 has been shipping for less than a week. And there is already a well-documented issue with static coming from the earpiece.
Yep.
And so it's like practically day one we're seeing problems.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of glad that by the time I get this, I'm probably going to get the 10 level. They'll be calling it something else, I hope. 10 for it's gonna have some of the kink worked out. The X Hardcore Pro isn't even shipping yet.
These things are announced, the designs are finalized, but they still need to actually make them. They need to update the software to deal with them, because right now even if the hardware was completely perfect and the software was optimized for it, you're at a 0.0 release of the software. Because
The hardware is completely perfect now, but, like, what about durability? What about this glass that presumably they've done testing on, but real world presents its own set of issues?
Yeah. These things will all have to fucking wait, though, because the only people who have these phones right now for real world shit are the people who really, 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 really wanted these phones.
They're willing to live with all of the compromises.
Yeah, they are babying them from a physical perspective.
True.
So you're not going to hear about, like, iPhones shattering and shit during this phase. And they are probably the hardest core users of them. So, like, if there's bugs, they're going to find them.
Yeah. So that's a good thing anyway.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of this is just software bugs and shit that they have to work out because they just gave a new thing to the public. So that's the 8, I guess, right?
All right. Can we talk about the X now?
the hardcore, the iPhone hardcore, the hardcore
XX. Hardcore
gamer. I just want to start by stressing last time. The last episode was posted after the event, but it was recorded before the event, and I made a rant about how I thought they would never in the fucking world call it the X, and they called it the fucking X. They named it X. They named it X. Why? I mean, not the tenth phone. Why, Apple? Why?
This is my new favorite Josh rant.
It's not the 10th phone, so you are either copying in the vein of Windows, or you have which you decided to do because that's what you said. You said iPhone 10. Or you decided to name your Pro thing instead of calling it Pro like everyone fucking expected, because that's how your branding works. You decided to call it the fucking X.
I will say.
Okay. Rant out of the way. Okay. Reasons for why do you think they called it the X?
So Apple has a thing for X.
Yeah.
So nobody really noticed this, but Apple has actually been doing this jump to X thing for quite some time now, but just not with anything quite so high profile. So Logic Pro went from not having numbers to Logic Pro 10.
Yeah.
With an X. And Final Cut Pro went from Final Cut Pro 7 to Final Cut Pro 10 with an X.
This is true. I didn't really pay attention to those programs, but
so they're not very high profile, and so nobody really complained that much, and nobody really noticed that they get a whole lot of numbers.
I think side note, maybe they just had to add the X so that they wouldn't lose an X. They have a minimum number of X's in their lineup,
right.
And they lost one when they went back OS instead of OS 10.
Right.
So they
yeah,
had to
exactly.
add one in
so
on the iPhone.
They just have to start putting the X back in.
They have to put the X back in on the iPhone because they took it off the Mac OS.
Exactly. Apple definitely has a thing about X's, like Mac OS 10.
Yeah. So what I've heard as speculation is that Apple's thing for X's is they make a product X, and then it is that product. That product just gets better, but it doesn't change, like, in number. And it changes significantly still, but not in number. So, like,
right.
Once you got to OS 10, it's just OS 10. It got up to, like, OS 10, 11.
Oh, okay. I get it. I figured out what it is. It's saying we've perfected it now.
Yeah. Which I disagree with, because the camera thing is horrible and they're going to suffer for it.
The camera thing?
Yeah, on that note, I don't like the video thing, because they said you have to give it your attention to get the camera to unlock your phone.
People are not going to like that. People like kind of like covertly checking their phone when it's not entirely socially appropriate to.
Yeah.
Which means not staring right at the friggin' screen with your whole face.
Yeah. This is another way in which it's the iPhone hardcore XX hardcore gamer iPhone, is you have to put your full attention on the iPhone for it to unlock. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I am marginally less upset about facial recognition than I was before, now that I know how it works. I actually think that it reasonably might be able to work as fast as Touch ID, the way they're doing it.
Yeah.
But still, I don't like that you have to give it your whole attention. I don't... It said it's using neural networks, which is good, and that's the way I would do it too. But it means that it has to train, so when you first start using it, it's not going to be very good.
Yeah. The other thing that concerned me is they didn't put a, like, runtime statistic up on the slide. They put a security statistic up on the slide, which is super cool. They have made it 1 in a million chance for a stranger to be able to unlock your phone, which is the same as the chance that a stranger chooses a random password and unlocks your phone.
Right.
If you have the standard 6-digit password, which is super cool.
That is super cool.
But it means that they emphasized security over speed of access.
And no one was really worried about security. People were worried about speed of access.
And that's always a trade-off. Security versus speed of access. So that concerns me. But I don't like facial recognition.
I don't either.
Yeah.
One thing I will say also bugs me about it, even if, like, ignore all the other problems. Say that it is the best facial recognition you could possibly have. It's as fast as Touch ID.
Yeah.
Is now. So here's the thing. I always put my phone in my pocket upside down. Why do I do that? So that when I take it out, I grab it by the home button. So yeah. That by the time my phone is, and Touch ID is fast enough, that by the time my phone is in front of my my face, which is when facial recognition starts trying to recognize my face, it's already on the home screen for me.
Yeah. If I'm doing something specific, I might unlock my phone and go somewhere before my phone is in my face.
Yeah.
Before I see anything. And that's super annoying that I have to wait now. So... The other thing about facial recognition is their demo failed on screen on the thing.
Wait, seriously?
Yes, and so that led
not encouraging.
No, so it was super catastrophic, and essentially we have a ton more information. I haven't looked through it all, but we have a ton more information about how facial recognition works now, because essentially to clean up that catastrophe. I think I've had to do a bunch of interviews with people. Huh. And so what happened was essentially, it wasn't actually Face ID not working. It was when setting up the thing, they had triggered the Face ID recognition too many times by accident, like other people had.
Right.
And so when he went to do it on stage, he couldn't Face ID because...
Because it only lets you have two tries.
Yeah, because it only lets you have so many tries. So it wasn't anything to do with Face ID, but it was like a super PR disaster.
That's hilarious. It does mean though that sometimes, like, if I'm using my phone as a GPS, where I was recently using my phone as a GPS, I'll just be carrying it in my hand.
Yeah.
Is it gonna, like, if it accidentally sees too many people doing that, is it not gonna let me unlock it with my face anymore?
I don't know. I don't think so. Also, you lock your phone when you just carry it in your hand?
I mean, sometimes.
I mean, like, if I'm carrying the phone in my hand looking at the GPS, I'm you.
Well, I'm not doing it if I'm looking at it in the GPS, but, like, if I figured out where I am now and I know how to get the rest of the way.
No, I think you have to
for the sake of battery life, quit Google Maps, then put my phone to sleep, but sometimes I'll put it back in my pocket, sometimes I'll just keep holding it.
Yeah. I think you have to touch the, like, thing to trigger the face and try to swipe up.
Okay.
But, like, they were, like, cleaning it and stuff to make it look good and stuff, so they did a ton of manipulating it.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, moving on from Face ID, which I knew they were going to do, but I don't like it, and I still don't like it.
That's not true. On the last episode, we both said that they probably wouldn't.
We did?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, I wanted them not to.
Yeah.
I wanted them not too hard. Actually, one more thing on Face ID.
Yeah.
They showed on stage, they had hired professional, like, Hollywood mask makers to build three-dimensional masks of people to make sure the Face ID was able to detect that.
Huh. Right, because it's using IR, so it can tell if it's a real warm, breathing person.
Yeah, which was cool. And so they actually brought fake masks of people out onto the stage. which was great. Okay.
All right. So another interesting thing about this that's also related to visuals is the friggin' screen, just made of loveliness.
Yes. Full OLED.
So it's all OLED. It is about 450 DPI.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, it's got the same that they stressed that they didn't lose any quality of, like, brights and stuff by making it OLED, which means it's super high quality OLED, and it's have super high dynamic range and shit.
Yeah, it's also it's high dynamic range. It's also wide gamut.
Yeah, super cool.
Oh, and the other thing is it has what they're calling True Tone, which is it actually, that it can, rather than just, like, doing night shift like what we have now, where it can shift the colors of the screen.
Yeah.
It actually changes the color of the backlight, because there's not a backlight anymore. But it changes color slightly based off of the actual environment. I said actual many times. Based off of the environment rather than just doing it as a time of day thing.
Yeah, which is cool.
There's not a backlight anymore, which is also cool.
Yeah, and there's a way to turn that off if you want everything to be exactly the colors it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is important for...
This is nice for photo people.
Yeah, I think that True Tone is also a thing for computers, for the Mac computers.
Is that coming to Sierra?
I don't know. I've heard of it. High Sierra, computer. Rather. High Sierra, yeah. 420, am I right? High Sierra. I think someone died in marketing and someone took over and doesn't know how to name shit.
High Sierra. The Apple Town Hall. Town Plaza. The iPhone 10X Hardcore Y. I agree with your analysis. Someone has died in marketing.
Someone has moved on from marketing, and now they have a new person, and they don't know how to name anything.
Yeah. They're just letting the intern do all of it. Okay. Other things. The storage tiers are weird.
Oh, I haven't looked at this.
So for the X, there are two storage tiers, 64 gigs and 256 gigs.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a spacing.
So what they did, this is not based on any insider information, is they wanted a starting price that was under $1,000, but they don't actually think you should buy a phone with less than 256 gigs.
Yeah. I guess 256 means you'll probably never run out.
Yeah, and they got us, and so they have their starting phone with 64, which is 999.
Yeah,
which they wanted. They wanted a nine. They didn't want a $1,000 phone.
Right.
So they made a 999 phone so that they can technically be under $1,000 because that's good for marketing. Right. But you know what's actually good? They hope that no one actually buys that phone, although people definitely will.
64 is not a tiny amount of space.
64 is not a tiny amount of space, but it is getting smaller. And true. You know what? You know what our attributes take up a bunch of space? Three-dimensional ones.
Right.
That have to be able to surface in the real frickin' world.
Right, true.
Yeah, if you're buying the phone, get the 256 gig one. That's the one they want you to buy.
It's only $150 more.
Yeah, that's the one they want you to buy. That's the one that that won't run out of space when you're using it.
You're doing all your AR stuff and you're recording your 3D videos that you can change the focus shift on later.
And you are already choosing to buy the expensive phone.
Yeah.
With all the cool bells and whistles of an expensive phone.
It's like you're gonna go that far. You're gonna get the expensive phone, and then you're gonna cheap out and save $150 by getting the tiny storage.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like saving
$150 to do that is fine and understandable. But if you're already
iPhone 8 at that point.
If you're already going all the way, then go all the way.
Yeah, iPhone 8 is an excellent phone. It kept Touch ID, so you could actually open the phone without looking at it.
Just cut it off. I was hoping you were just going to stop in the middle and just so you could actually open the phone.
I actually opened the phone. It's not needy. It doesn't need your attention constantly.
That's what we call the high maintenance phone.
Yeah, it's not high maintenance.
It
like the
requires
iPhone hardcore.
A lot of attention.
The iPhone hardcore is high maintenance.
Yeah.
It does some pretty cool things, though.
So
let's talk about the UI. I think we actually ended up coming to a conclusion. One of the 17 different predictions we made for how the UI would work last week, I think, was right. You have a little button on the bottom that's claimed UI space by Apple, and swiping up from there pushes the app back into the app. If you drag that thing, so that people are worried, what about my app switcher? If you slide that like button sideways, it will just slide between apps. And right. You can like hold that button and push it so that you can get into the app switcher view if you like the app switcher view. But like,
can you still show things there though? Like
yeah,
like
but
if you're
like,
playing a video, can it still go into that zone?
Yes. Yeah. It's just over. It's just like a little rectangle over the thing, and I assume it goes away.
Right.
I'm not fully sure it goes away.
But it's just saying like you can't. Sorry, you can't put gesture controls there. We've claimed that.
Yeah, we've claimed that. Which is cool. And it like as soon as you saw it, it's like, yes, this is obviously the UI you use for those things.
Yeah, that makes sense. That was similar to what I suggested. What you were thinking of in the last episode, I said just claiming an area at the bottom. I was imagining actually just having a virtual home button. I wasn't imagining having the gesture bar.
Yeah, at some point I said, what if they just like had swipes do everything?
Yeah, you said
and then we talked about pinch swipes, and then we talked about pinch swipes, and then we said there wasn't enough. Maybe they'll just do one swipe things for things.
Yeah.
And so that's what they chose to do, is one swipe things for things. And it works. I like it. I don't have any problem with that UI choice. I think it's good.
It's a good solution.
Yeah.
Other things, other UI-based things. We talked a bit in the last episode about what will they do about the bar at the top of the phone.
They, like, push things to the side of the notch, right?
Yeah, but we were talking about, like, so we figured that they do that, but what would they do about fitting stuff in? Would they have two rows of stuff? What would they do? And so what I'm seeing here is, on the left, they just have the time. Nothing else, just the time.
Yeah.
On the right, they have... So, first of all, they've taken away telling you the name of your carrier, which I suppose is nice. I'm surprised the carriers weren't a little bit butthurt about that. But it tells you how many cell bars you have, and it is back to vertical bars instead of dots. It tells you how many Wi-Fi bars you have, that's unchanged. And it tells you how much battery you have, and they did, in fact, remove the percentage, as I predicted in the last episode.
Yeah. So, iOS 11 has the bars instead of dots, just across all phones.
Okay.
Everything else, though, is the same as it was before, in terms of iOS 11. For that thing.
But so, like, on most phones, it still tells you the carrier?
Yeah, it still tells you the carrier. The carrier is actually nice for if you're trying to determine whether you are roaming or not.
That's true.
Which I used in Alaska and stuff.
Does Alaska not count as, like, U.S. and Canada?
It does, but I went up to Canada first, and then in Alaska, you turn on roaming in some areas, and a different cell service, they have deals with a different cell service that it doesn't actually cost anything to roam, but they have deals with a different cell service, because we were, like, on the border sometimes, and near the border, and Alaska's fucking huge, and and very sparsely populated, so, like, there's a reason why Alaska is not shown on the maps of where the cell service is. I'll leave it there. Talking about iOS 11, they have decided that the up swipe, like that the idea of when you leave an app, it goes up away from you.
Yeah.
That is across all of iOS 11, regardless of how you make it go up. Huh. So if you click the button, it goes up, which, like, makes sense as a UI decision.
I like the disappearing off into the distance.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get used to it. I'm not really complaining, but I like that. It was a nice touch.
Yeah. They have made... For all of the, I'm going into the just like iOS 11 things now.
All right, that's fine.
I
do actually. I have one last little note.
We should do Animoji first. Let's do Animoji.
We should do Animoji. But first, I do want to do one last. I think that this is my last note on the hardware.
Yeah.
Which is a teeny little thing that zero people care about but me.
Okay.
Actually, so we have to talk about battery also. But first, the teeny thing that nobody cares about but me is the front of the phone. So, like, the little kind of curved part that comes forward and where it meets the screen and the notch at the top is always black. Even if you get the silver phone, it's still black.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of this.
Yes.
Because
I agree.
The whole reason why I never got the silver phones before is because if you're using your phone on a bright sunny day, all the white bezel is going to reflect the sunlight into your eyes, and it's going to make your pupils close up really tight, so it's harder to see the brightness of your screen.
Also, the whole OLED point of the OLED is that you just have your experience, and all, like, blackness is just blackness. And
exactly.
You lose that if you put freaking gray around your entire screen instead of black around your entire screen.
Yeah. And so that's the reason why they did it. But the biggest thing that I really like is now it's taken away the reason not to get the silver phone. because my thing was I didn't like the white bezel.
Oh, there's one more thing about the hardware that I was super proud of Apple for.
Yeah.
Because they did it. They overcame their body dysmorphia. They made a phone that was technically thicker than the last phone.
Whoa.
Yeah, the iPhone 8. I think the iPhone 8 is three paper widths thicker than the iPhone 7. And they were like, it's thicker. And it's like, it's all in the same size. Well, technically the bump is a little bit thicker. It's only three paper widths, though. You won't notice. We promise.
And it's like teeny little bit of progress.
Everybody in the room was like, no one freaking cared. Like, congratulations. You did what everyone wanted, which is make the phone better and stop making it thinner.
It is kind of hilarious that because it is, it's like you said, it really is, it's like calling it body dysmorphia or anorexia or whatever is a good name for it, because why is Apple doing this? Why does Apple care so much about the phones getting thinner and thinner? Because none of their customers do.
Yeah, no one does, except them. Like, there's a vision thing of, like, eventually if you make the phone thin and light enough, then you don't have to worry about it cracking on falls anymore and shit, because it falls like a piece of paper. But, like...
Okay, I'll give you that. But even then, though, like, I don't want my phone to fall like a piece of paper.
Yeah. Eventually
it will... Even if it's really thin, I kind of like it still being a little bit dense. That feels nice.
Yeah. I think that they've gotten... I hope that means that they've gotten to the thinness they want their phones at and will stop forcing it to be thinner every year.
I think that
I have no idea if that's true.
I think that they've reached a thinness where they're already making a few compromises to get it this thin, and they can't get it any thinner without making really serious compromises that they're not willing to do. But I think that if they could make it thinner without having to make huge compromises, they would.
Yeah. They did the thing that anyone who has ever asked for the iPhone to stop getting thinner and to have a thicker version, they asked for what?
Battery.
2 more hours of battery life.
Yep.
On all the new phones.
And in fact, if you look on the iPhone X, it has 1.5 times the battery size as the iPhone 8.
Yeah.
Which means even though it's not 12
billion different sensors on the top.
Right. But it means that even though it's not as big as the 8 Plus,
yeah,
it still has all the extra battery life of the 8 Plus over the 8.
It's a concern, though, that I would temper that with is that it might have a bigger battery, but it has... Whenever you are trying to open the phone, it is using what is effectively a camera flash.
That's true.
Because the sensor bar at the top has the, like, IR flash that's, like, not
the,
in
all the IR dots, yeah.
Yeah, not in the visible spectrum. It's easy to forget
that that's like a flash, yeah.
Yeah, that's not in the visible spectrum, but it is a flash. That's one of the ways they make it so that it doesn't matter how dark it is, you can still unlock your phone, is that they're taking a flash photo of you. You just don't see the flash because it's not in the visual spectrum.
Right.
So I think it will. I think it does legitimately use a bunch more power.
Yeah, that's true. It does still have more battery life than the 8, which is, I believe, it's a similar size to the 8 rather than the 8 Plus.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost the exact same size screen, except for obviously more screen because less stuff around the screen.
Yeah.
Animoji. Super cool.
I love it.
It's so cute, it's so funny.
It's a gimmick, but I like it. It's fun. I would use it. It does a good job of showing off the new technology.
It does a good job of dog fooding AR kit. It's super whimsical. Also, like,
cute.
Think about the power that is. Like, there are probably $30,000 setups for doing that in animation labs. Where they have to animate faces.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that is now motion capture. It's complicated. Yeah, they have to put physical dots on your face.
That's now in your iPhone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, think about that for a second. That's now in your iPhone. I wouldn't be surprised if people start using that for animations.
I wouldn't either. There's nothing else that, like, available to the average consumer that can do this.
Yeah. I want to see how much of that is accessible through ARKit and Maybe make a little animation app that just like, you want to animate faces? Here, talk at it, express at it, and it will animate faces for you.
Oh my god. I'm just realizing, like, when you're animating, lip sync is really hard. I'm just imagining now, like, you just, when you're recording the voice actor, you record a video of the voice actor's face also, and it's just automatic lip sync.
Just automatic lip sync. Yeah, exactly. They have to act out the emotions. You get automatic emotions. Yeah, depending on how much of I don't know how much of that is in ARKit, but that might be something I look into with ARKit myself, or you probably know Swift better than I do. You could look into it and try to make an app out of that. Just like auto facial expression. And then like you have to make it so that the face is that like you can draw the head and then the head is in like the middle of nothing, or the head can be placed anywhere or something.
Yeah.
You want to get it so that it can be exported as a video to somewhere else so that they can finish their animation off the iPhone, because please don't make anyone ever do any animation on the iPhone. But it's good for like indie.
You need it to be able to export something. But totally.
Like that's super useful. That's super cool.
Oh, and another thing,
If you don't get a chance to watch the whole thing, do watch the segment where they send back and forth an emoji just for fun.
I will watch that. Related to similar things, the cameras now have optical image stabilization.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool.
So much more to say about it. Just optical image stabilization is really good. It's like make my camera better. Make it have better low light performance. And just everything looks better handheld.
Yeah. Everything will look better. The camera, the entire bar is super cool. You get depth sensors, so ARKit's gonna look super awesome.
Yeah,
with the new shit. Yeah, it's super cool. And I'm excited. Let's do just iOS 11.
All right,
I have it.
I don't have it yet. So you're gonna have, like I said, I'm afraid of the 1.0. Or it's the just 0.0. But
there are definitely some bugs. So you're probably right to be a little bit afraid. It's in general, it feels like happier. That's like the feeling, one word feeling. It feels happier. The opening always goes up now. Instead of like your opening, like fade, doing a fade, it pops, it flies up to the top of the screen. Your home lock screen. All of Apple's own apps have like their name, like super big across the top, like way bigger than it usually is across the top. I don't know why, but like they do now. and it's like you don't realize, you're like, this is different. Why is this different? And then you realize, oh shit, the only thing that they have changed is they have made the name like 10 times as the font size it was before. And you're like, why? But if for some reason that helps it feel happier.
I'm confused. Sorry, I missed something because I was reading about it. Name of what?
What?
Name of what? And I was reading.
Each app.
Okay.
So like Contacts has just Contacts written on the across the top in like 48-point font for some reason.
That's dumb. That's odd.
Yeah.
I guess, well, like you were saying though, if it makes it feel happier, then
yeah,
it's not taking up a whole ton of screen space.
Also on Contacts, they have added something that says, I'm just exploring the OS on air, by the way.
All right.
So I'm not like going through anything particular. They have added something that says My Card that has like your phone number and your email and stuff that it's and your email accounts that you have. And you can add a name in. I don't know what this does, but
my guess is that in messages, there's an easy way to send somebody your card, and it's slowly starting to move toward the thing that you wanted.
Yeah, which is good. Yes, this is what I want. Okay, cool.
Looking in the I'm looking in pictures online. It looks like Control Center has had a serious overhaul.
Yeah, Control Center is all on one screen now. Thank freaking God.
And it like swallows up the entire screen, right?
Yeah, it swallows up the entire screen, and blurs everything out behind it. It has like, it's pretty basic how it works. It has basically all the same function. It's just all on one screen now, which is super nice. There's not really much more to say there.
Please don't put as much stuff on your, because you can control what's there now, right?
Yeah, I haven't.
Please,
I haven't...
don't put as much stuff as is on the screenshot that they have on the website. It's like the top half is like the basic controls that you really want. And then the bottom half is a 4x4 grid with like flashlight. Okay, that I want. But then timer, calculator, camera. I don't know what this person in the circle is. Maybe accessibility settings, and then
I'm gonna go down. I'm gonna go down and say the things that are cool that they have. They have accessibility settings. They have the Apple TV remote.
Okay, that's useful.
They have an alarm shortcut. They have a do not disturb while driving shortcut because they want people to use that. Which I'm going to turn on during like a weekend when I'm just like have nothing to do and I'm on a bus. I'm going to turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving and figure out if it works the way I want it to or if it's just complete shit that just like stops you from using your, makes it harder to use your phone while driving. I don't like Do Not Disturb While Driving sounds like the something thing that like nobody's like, I hate Do Not Disturb While Driving, but also nobody's actually going to turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't want to look at your phone while you were driving, you weren't already. And I feel like it will get in the way of legitimate things like, I need to know where I'm going. Please tell me.
And I do think that it so first of all, you can still use Siri when it's on, right?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know how it works.
So that's something to look into because that's important. And like you can still can you still have your phone be working like a GPS?
Yeah.
I don't know. So that I want to know. But also, what I really want, I don't want it to detect when I'm driving.
Yeah.
What I want is it to just be a different version of Do Not Disturb that disables the second, like, ring on second ring. And instead, if somebody calls twice, it just makes a soft ping and puts a notification on the top of the screen. Because the issue that I have now is if somebody calls me twice because like they really want to reach me and I'm on Do Not Disturb because I'm driving, often I'm using my phone as a GPS because I have a horrible sense of direction.
Yeah, say
it. And then when the phone gets called, the call takes over the entire screen and there's no way to tell Siri to like, okay, ignore this call.
Yeah.
So I think that what I basically all I want from Do Not Disturb While Driving is if somebody calls twice, send them a text that says, hey, I'm driving, I'll talk to you later, and disable anything that could take over the entire screen without warning.
So that is going to be a way of passive aggressively just shutting someone down will be to copy and paste whatever the text of that message is and just respond whenever they send you message that text.
I like it.
It's just like, yeah, that text is like super obnoxious too. I don't like that text idea. I don't like Do Not Disturb While Driving. I don't want it. I don't drive though right now.
I only want the texting on the call twice function. Where right now the phone goes like the phone actually rings. The person calls twice. If I'm driving, I'm not going to actually answer the phone, but I might want to pull over and answer the phone. So I don't need like an actual ringtone, but you could pick it, like make a pinging sound to say, hey, somebody called twice. Send them a text saying, hey, I'm driving right now, but I'll call you back.
Yeah.
So that they're not wondering like what's going on.
The other thing is they have that I just went through the list and I put on some of the cool things. They have a single button low battery mode thing.
Okay, that's good because it's hard to find how to get to low battery mode now.
Yeah, so that shouldn't be a problem anymore. They have screen recording now.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. Peter, sorry, a friend of ours was showing both of us that before. And so one thing that I know is that you can't record audio. You can't record the device audio.
Yeah.
I can think of a lot of reasons why they would have made it why you can't record the device audio.
Yeah.
That makes it recording device audio makes it easier to pirate stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if recording device audio is technically difficult. There's already copyright issues. Like there's already like a kind of like little bit of a copyright question with recording video, and then recording device audio has an even bigger copyright question, and Apple maybe doesn't want to go there.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's the right thing to do to allow users to do screen recording, though.
I absolutely agree. I think I think that it's also the right thing to do to allow users to record device audio. But I think that there's reasons why they can't do that. I'm sure they want to.
Yeah, I think that they have it set up so that you could theoretically record microphone audio, which I think is good for Let's Players if they want to do Let's Plays on the iPhone, which is cool. I don't see myself using it that much, but I put it down there. Putting it in Control Center was the correct UI decision.
Oh, absolutely.
It gives you 3 seconds once you start recording to set up. So you start recording, and then you push down Control Center, and then it will start recording.
Right.
Which is cool. the App Store.
Oh, yes, the App Store. That's important. We have to talk about the App Store.
So
they made games their own thing.
Yes, games is its own separate tab from, you have Today, which is like their advertising section, essentially, except for it's not ad, I don't think. It's all stuff they have chosen to put there for you. Actual people have chosen to put shit there.
I think it's almost like
the featured.
Yeah, exactly. It's like featured.
Yeah, that's an entire tab now. Then they have a games tab, which has a bunch of games.
And then they have apps. Which is everything that's not games.
Which has just a ton of AR games right now, pretty much. That's the top thing, is their AR games, because they want to show off the AR kit shit.
That makes sense.
Then they have apps, which is all apps. Some of these look like games to me.
probably app developers selected the wrong category.
Yeah, apparently people aren't very good. Most of them are games. I think that people aren't really sure where AR things fall.
Right. Because some of the AR things, it's like maybe this isn't a game per se. It's kind of just showing off AR kit by letting you put things around. Is that a game? Yeah. I don't know.
They have a lot of little kids' toys, essentially, that they have put in apps because of that exact reason, I think. There's like a Thomas the Tank Engine friend minis.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna install that.
Have you used ARKit? Have you used any of the AR things yet?
No, I haven't. That's why I'm doing it.
We spent a long time preparing for this podcast.
Yeah, no. No, I've been busy. Do you want to talk about other shit on this podcast besides Apple, or do you just want to talk about Apple?
So I want to talk about, just briefly review the rest of iOS, and then I have, one little just odd side note from my life, which I think is interesting.
Okay.
While you do that, I have a few other things to talk about. So one of them is on all apps now, you can force the location services to be only while using app.
Yeah.
The way it works now, it's up to the app developer whether you expose that setting or whether you can say you make the settings just never or always. So now in iOS 11, you can always say while using app.
Yeah, and that is...
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's good for privacy. I feel like a lot of apps, like Google Maps and like a few other things, it's like they're still a little bit better if you have it set to always.
Yeah.
A lot of people will immediately say no, don't have it set to always, because spooky Google watching. But I feel like I would miss a few things.
I don't think this is using ARKit. I don't understand how this is using ARKit. I understand that this will eventually.
What is it?
This
what
is
does
not
it do?
Yet using ARKit. It is just a block placing game right now. I don't know why it's not.
Does it not like project it out? Does it not use
the camera? It's not projecting it onto the world. It's very, very clear what they want to project onto the world, but it's also very clear that they are not doing that. That's unfortunate. Yeah, I'm giving up on trying to get an ARKit game to work.
Look into that if you have a chance, and then you can talk about it more once you've had time to play with it.
Yeah.
Next time.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people are going to turn off always for Google Maps and then realize that that means that Google Maps can no longer tell them to when to turn when they have closed down Google Maps, right?
Yeah, which is a problem.
Yeah. because Google Maps decided that it didn't want the, it didn't want to hold the, like, record, it didn't want to be a thing that was running. It just wants to send you notifications whenever you get to places.
Yeah, and that causes problems.
Yeah.
It's a feature, it's a good idea. I like that they do that. It's good for privacy. It's the right decision to expose that setting, but I think that a lot of people, I think that people want apps to be able to use their location always more than they think they do.
Yeah.
So other things. I'm kind of trying to just speed through this quickly because, one, I don't think that there's that much to say, and two, because I don't want this episode to be too long.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is going to get shortened much by the program. We've been talking a lot.
Yeah. I don't think there's much else. I didn't actually look at the bullet points. I haven't read any comprehensive shit going through everything. I just...
So there's one more very small thing and one more medium thing. So the very small thing is SOS, where you can if you have your phone locked and you press the sleep wake button 5 times quickly, it disables Touch ID. So like this is something you could do if your phone is getting stolen or you're getting mugged or something. Or something that some people have pointed out is, and so I don't see this as a huge issue, but it's something people have said is, if you're worried about, like in court being forced to unlock your phone, legally they can't require you to give them, your passcode.
Yeah.
But they can require you to give your fingerprint.
Yeah.
And so this is something you could do that, like if you're worried that you're getting into legal trouble or something, you could do that to turn off Touch ID.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can set it to automatically call 911.
Yeah, call 911.
So then that's like if you're getting mugged or something. So that's the small thing.
Yeah.
The medium thing, huh? What were you going to say?
Okay, I just made it work.
Yeah, all right. The medium thing... So it says, like, did that work normally, as expected?
Yeah, it worked as expected.
All right. The medium thing is the camera now natively supports QR code reading.
Yeah, I don't have any QR codes to test that one on.
Yeah, that's fine. That's another good time. Though. But it is good. It's cool. And the things they show for that is what it shows a QR code in the middle, and it says at the top, Wi-Fi QR code, just in the push notification. Join network name, network. And then another one is, it shows another QR code, and it says, contact QR code. Add Joe at joeblogs.com to your contacts.
Oh.
Which is also cool.
That is cool.
We're paving a way for, like, no more, like, no more copying down passwords, no more like taking a picture of somebody's card so that you can type out the number later, and instead it's just all QR codes, which is an exciting world.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else Apple related that's exciting?
I don't think so. I'm seeing if I could like make my contact become a QR code. As far as I can tell, I cannot do this.
I have no idea how to do that.
Because I said earlier that I had, because
I
said earlier that I had the card button, right?
Right.
So I feel like eventually they will make a way to make that into a QR code, but that isn't here yet.
All right. there probably will be eventually.
You know what? I bet they have it planned, and it will be a QR code as soon as Snapchat's patent runs out. Because I'm sure Snapchat has a patent on that because nobody has copied them.
Well, other people do something. I don't know. I don't think it's QR codes, but Facebook, Facebook Messenger. If you go and get up your like profile on Facebook Messenger, there's like a little circle of dots around your face that looks like just an aesthetic thing. But if you scan that, it gives somebody your contact information.
Yeah.
So not exactly a QR code, but a similar sort of thing. Yeah, Spotify does that for songs.
Yeah, I think they'll do this eventually, but I don't think they have done it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So, if there's nothing else Apple-related, I do have one kind of interesting tech-related anecdote.
Okay.
So, for anybody who doesn't know, I just moved to Amherst because I'm going to UMass Amherst for college. And Amherst has a decent public transportation system. There's buses that go all over the place. It's very, very cheap to ride. And in fact, as a university student, I get to ride for free.
Mm-hmm.
otherwise, it's $1.25. Now, saying there's buses that go everywhere is nice and all, but how do you know when they stop? Because if you look on the website, they give you schedules, which are pretty good, but they're sometimes right and sometimes wrong. Sometimes the buses will come at the wrong time. And on each route, it lists like between 5 and 10 stops, depending on the route. But there are other stops in between those that just don't get listed, which is annoying. Because there might be another stop that's closer to your destination. It took me a little while to figure out that, like, when I'm going to Walmart, the bus stops one at kind of like a strip mall across the street from Walmart. But then it goes, loops around and stops right in front of Walmart. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to do quite so much walking. That stop is not listed on the schedule.
Yeah.
PVTA makes the Pioneer Valley Transit Authority, the company that runs the buses. they make an app called PVTA Track or PV Track. It's like PVT Track, whatever. and then, but that's Android only. No iOS support. And I have a friend who has an Android phone who uses it. And she says that, one, it doesn't always give accurate directions. Or it's not that it doesn't always give accurate directions. It doesn't always give accurate times. She had an experience where she was waiting for a bus that the tracker said was coming now, but it didn't come. And she just had to wait for the next bus. Came half an hour later. It also does not list all of the stops. It just lists the same ones that the website does. So that's very unhelpful. But here's what I discovered, which is fascinating.
Google Maps does
transit directions. Google Maps knows all of the stops and has perfectly accurate times for when the bus comes.
I have found the same thing is true in Illinois.
How is it that Google knows more about where the buses are than the company that runs the buses?
I haven't looked as much into the actual use of the apps, and the apps seem to be better in Illinois. But yeah, the way to get transit directions is to use Google Maps.
Yeah, like it doesn't make sense to me. How is it that the Google app gives you more accurate directions, more accurate information and more complete information about PVTA buses than the PVTA app?
Because the PVTA
where is Google
app
getting its
dumb.
Info? I don't know. Google is getting its info from the Google Hive Mind. Google Nexus.
Is super smart, and everyone else dumb.
All right, that's my anecdote of Google knows all.
Yeah. Well, see you next week.
All right, see you next week. I hope we'll be able to record next week. For anybody who hasn't figured out, we don't really have a recording schedule. The last episode actually only just got uploaded because I should tell you something. This is interesting. So the last episode was the first one that's using the audio trickery, right?
I think so.
It might have no. The there was one before.
Yeah, there's
so
one.
So that one worked fine. The most recent episode, so I should mention, the thing with the audio trickery, it's a little bit annoying because it does all the audio processing and then says, hey, I'm done. And then you click save and it takes 6 hours to save.
After
you've chosen the save destination. Because it does the channel splitting in when it's saving.
Yeah.
And so,
we should refactor.
I'm leaving this in the podcast. This is at the very end. This is like the after show because we've already said goodbye. Yeah. I'm leaving this in because although I think that a very small percentage of people would be interested in this, a very small percentage of people listen to our podcast also. So, meaning no one.
Meaning no one. The last episode requested people send in emails and I checked. No one has sent in emails. No one is listening.
No one's listening. All of our friends have abandoned us. That's okay. We didn't really do this podcast for the listeners anyway. Although I am on the podcast still going to continue talking as if we have listeners.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
I might end up showing the podcast to people to show the like audio processing.
That's a good idea. That's a cool idea.
That's my way of not feeling like I'm self-promoting too much. And like just being a self-promoting asshole when I show
then it's like, hey, you should listen to the podcast for the cool thing we did with the audio because it's really cool how well it works. Anyway, though, so the audio processing happens when you're saving it. So it ends up being like it says it's done and then take forever to save. That's why when we were first when we did the first episode that was using that, I at first said, "Oh no, the program's broken. It won't work. It froze when it was saving." Because I gave up on its saving after about half an hour because I wasn't it hadn't occurred to me that the saving was what would take forever.
Yeah.
So we do need to refactor that. We probably shouldn't be using Python arrays because Python arrays take 7 years to do anything.
Yeah. We could deal with that.
Because we're already doing processing when they're both when it's C arrays. So we should probably just do the channel stuff while it's still C arrays.
Yeah.
But so the other thing.
Yeah.
Which is another issue with doing it in Python. Is that it literally uses up 45 gigabytes of RAM.
Okay.
The reason why this last episode, I only uploaded the last episode today.
Yeah.
It's currently in the kind of purgatory state where it exists on the WordPress, but doesn't exist on iTunes yet, because there's kind of this Rube Goldberg device about how it ends up on iTunes, which has
It does exist on Overcast now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It might exist on iTunes now.
Everyone who's listening to this, this has been upkit loaded significantly after, so this conversation is super useful to all of them.
Yeah, that's true. The reason why it took so long to upload this is because I had to move some stuff onto an external hard drive to clear space.
Oh boy.
Sorry, I should mention, this is still running on my old computer because I haven't recompiled the C code for Windows yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, but none of it is using like platform-dependent libraries. It shouldn't take much. It should just be recompiling. But anyway, so I had to clear up some space, some hard drive space, so I could have enough swap. So we really, really, really need to make this program use less memory.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can do that off air though.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Let's
not do that now. It's getting late at night. But all right, I think we're done.
Okay.
All right.
Bye,
everyone.
If you are listening, you can email us at nerdfighterit@gmail.com.
Say that you exist, please.
If there is anyone listening, I would like to know.
Yeah. Seriously, like if you listen to this, just send us an email saying hi.
Yeah. And other than that, you know.
All right. Bye.